Hey everybody, how we doing? And welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo, and for this episode, we are going to be breaking down all the awards across Major League Baseball. We're going to give you our early picks on who we think is going to win these awards, so the American League and the National League. We're going to jump right in, starting off with the American League Rookie of the Year. Joe, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hope everybody's doing well. So to start this off, Mike, my pick actually had to change, actually, right off the jump.
Okay.
I'm going Jason Dominguez for the New York Yankees to win this award for Rookie of the Year. I was leaning towards Roman Anthony, but because I changed, the reason is I don't think he's going to make it the team out of camp. I think their outfield is stacked with, you know, they have Abreu, Rafaela, and they have Duran. And the way Alex Cora was talking a couple of days ago, he was saying basically that the development of Anthony is more important than, you know, bringing him up so quickly and getting him exposed pretty quickly. So personally, I think with the way that sounds, looks like Roman Anthony is not going to be joining the team to start the year. I do think at some point, if he does well in AAA, at some point he does get the call. But I think, you know, just knowing that Dominguez is going to be there already and he, you know, offensively, there really are no restrictions. He should be able to, you know, to let loose and rip right off the jump. Obviously, defensively, we don't know what to expect with him in left field, kind of, you know, shaky. But I do think he has enough production-wise to be able to win this award this year and represent the Yankees in the AL as a Rookie of the Year.
Listen, I'll be honest. I don't think that's a bad pick at all. I mean, listen, this kid has been paid attention to since he's 16. He's been deemed the Martian because he's just so unique and his talent is through the roof. So I don't think that's a bad pick. I bounced around a lot with this because it's just a lot of guys that I think are going to be in contention haven't officially made teams yet, so I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here with mine. I took Jackson Jobe from Detroit.
Okay.
I think he's going to round out that rotation. It seems that the fourth spot is probably going to go to Casey Mize in the rotation, and I think he's on his final straw with that because he's been relatively disappointing to being a top pitching prospect.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate. Listen, you want to see this talent grow because this is how our game grows. So, you know, hopefully he can find it. But the last spot is between Jobe and Keiter Montero. Now, in spring, Jobe has a few more innings pitched than he does, than Montero does. He's at 12 and a third, and Montero's at 9 and two-thirds. Montero has a few more strikeouts, though. He's at 13, and Jobe's at 8. But what's eye-popping to me is Jobe's whip is under 1. It's at a .89. Compared to Keiter Montero, he's at a 1.34.
Oh, wow.
So I think Jobe is going to have the edge, and I think he's going to win that final slot. And then I think he's just going to, you know, especially in that division, I think he's going to pitch very well. You know, he's very highly touted. He's got nasty stuff. And that's my pick. But who I really wanted to say was Christian Moore out of the Angels. Drafted last year, number 8 overall. New York boy, so I'm rooting for him.
Yep.
But the kid's talent is through the roof, but it's still not official if he's going to make this opening day roster. He's fighting with Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada out there in L.A., so if he even does make it, I think it's going to have to be maybe because one of those guys go down or really underperforms. But I really want to take Christian Moore.
Yeah,
but it's just
obstacles he's got to overcome.
But that's so
a good pick though. Another good dark horse pick.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Jobe. I really do like his stuff though. But listen, if we want to jump into the NL, I think we ended up in the same pick, and it's not going to be what everybody's thinking.
That's true.
Joey, what do you got?
So I'll start it off, and I'll probably cause some you know, heads to turn. But I'm going Matt Shaw. I like the way this kid has shown, you know, has showcased himself. I think the Cubs really got a steal with this kid. I think he's going to be that third baseman of the future. I really do. Between AAA and AA last year, he had 121 games. He hit .284 with 21 homers, 71 RBIs, 31 stolen bases. That to me is big because, you know, with the subtraction of Cody Bellinger, I think his numbers could take place of Cody Bellinger and, you know, replenish the speed that they'll lose, that'll replenish the power they'll lose, and the RBI production is also up there as well, and he hits for average. So if that happens and he could, you know, stay on this team consistently, I do see him edging it out and taking the NL Rookie of the Year for 2025.
You know what? My pick is the exact same.
Oh, nice.
I love Matt Shaw. He looks great. He's looked pretty decent in spring. He made his debut out in Tokyo and made, you know, with the Japan series. Didn't really go well.
That's okay.
Listen, it's one game and he played against Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, what
we'll cut up some slack for that one.
Right. And it's in Japan. You know, 161
games left.
Yeah. Listen, I think this kid is going to be fine. I think he's a stud. And it really seems like Chicago might have an opening at third base. If it's not him, it might be John Birdie. Is John Birdie really a starter in this league? Probably not. Not anymore. I don't think he really ever was all that much. More of an experiment, I think,
he's
in Miami.
He's a bench player. He played for the Yankees. He was a bench player. He did good off the bench, and that to me, that's really what all he is. So.
Yeah, I think Shaw's ready. He's hitting well in spring. He was, at least. You know, now he officially made his debut. I think Matt Shaw is going to end up taking that out. And I know, guys, neither one of us took Roky Sasaki. I get it. He's probably the favorite, understandably why. Roky is disgusting. His stuff is so nasty. I don't know how many of you guys watched the World Baseball Classic a few years ago and saw what this kid is capable of. I mean, he made Randy Arozarena look like a child.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And listen, we're not taking anything away from Roky. Me personally, I just think sometimes everyday players have more of an impact. And that's what I'm hoping for with Matt Shaw. I'm hoping because he could be an everyday player in the league, he could show more of an impact on an everyday basis. That's just my opinion.
I see where you're coming from, but your guy won last year, Luis Hill.
Yes, he did.
As a pitcher. And I took a pitcher in the American
League. And his numbers
league.
Weren't like, you know, they weren't like eye-popping. I think he finished was it 12-6 with a 3.5 ERA? I mean, yeah. it wasn't like, you know, oh my gosh, this kid's going to be, you know, lights out for years to come. He definitely has that potential. He has the potential to be lights out. But like I said, when it came to impact players, I don't think there were enough rookies last year in the AL to make that much of an impact the way Hill did. So I'm thinking that Matt Shaw could, you know, change that narrative this year in the NL.
Yeah, I don't think that's that crazy. And like I said, I agree with you. I took him as well. But I think we're going to move on now to another award. We're going to touch the Manager of the Year. We're going to start in the AL. Joe, who's your AL pick?
So I have a very interesting pick, in my opinion, because this team could be a dark horse. I don't know. We'll see what happens in the AL West. But I'm taking Mark Kotze with the, do you want to call them the Oakland Athletics, the Sacramento Athletics? What do we? Can we just call them the Athletics?
I'm not really acknowledging the Sacramento
thing. We'll just call them the A's or the Athletics, just to play it safe. But yeah, I'm taking Mark Kotze. I think they have a decent amount of weapons in, you know, in the AL West. I'm not saying to make, you know, a wild card, but, you know, just to be formidable. They re-signed Brent Rooker. They re-signed Lawrence Butler. They signed Severino. They signed Jose Leclerc. They got Jeff Springs, which I thought was a hell of a signing. Back into that rotation, possibly as a three, probably in their rotation. So to me, that was a great great offseason that they had. They spent money. I know they were forced to, but they spent money finally, and they put decent pieces together. And I think with their young pieces that they have already, that could be a decent team. And I can see Kotze maybe 75, 80 wins with that team. Maybe they go 80 and 82. Maybe they win like 77 games. Like I said, maybe not making a wild card, but definitely not being in the cellar as they used to be. So, yeah, I'm going to go Mark Kotze for 2025, Manager of the Year for the AL.
I don't think that's a crazy pick at all. I like what Oakland's doing. Like you said, they finally spent money. Like you mentioned, they were forced to. That's a story for another day. But overall, I do like the moves they made. They've re-signed some of the young talent, like you mentioned. And, yeah, I think they're going to have a sneaky team. They're going to be a pest.
They're definitely going to be a thorn on people's sides. I definitely think so.
Listen, maybe they pull the money ball thing again and surprise everyone. I don't think we're going to go to those lengths. But I do think they're going to be a lot better than they were. They've made some moves, some decent moves. I mean, you know, listen, they got Severino. He's going to ace that staff, it seems like.
Yep.
So, I don't think that's a crazy pick at all. But I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going in the AL Central again. And I'm going to take Rocco Baldelli.
Okay.
Because if you guys have listened to our previous episodes with our AL picks, I took Minnesota to win the division. I figured, listen, why not have a healthy year in Minnesota? Some of these guys, the talent they have, if they are all there healthy, there's no reason why this team doesn't win the division, in my opinion.
And Rich Lewis going down, though, a couple days ago.
It was a hamstring, right?
Yeah. It seems to be just him on that team.
It's everybody.
I know.
It's everybody. But Royce Lewis, that's been a huge disappointment.
What a shame, because he's such a talent.
Yeah, he's unreal. Byron Buxton, he's been one of my favorites, but he can't stay on the field. He's another one. But like I said, I think this is the year they may put it all together. Listen, you're going to get guys down like this hamstring.
Oh, yeah, 100%. The Central's open. I bet the Twins have the talent to do it, like you said.
So, listen, I think if they come back and actually win this division with all the adversity they faced over the last few years, and I think Rocco's going to win it again. He won it back in 2019, so I think he's going to take home his second overall. But we're going to move on to the NL. I think you and I differ
here. I can't wait for this one.
Yeah, I think you and I differ here big time. Not really.
So for me personally, I think if this team could be one of the wild card spots coming out of this division, it's got to be recognized. So for me, I'm taking Torey Lovullo from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Okay, I love that.
If he could somehow muster up, listen, this team is stacked. Their pitching is by far top two in the NL behind the Dodgers, I'm going to say. Honestly, they are stacked. And if you put them in the AL, they go up with anybody in the AL, in my opinion. They can potentially win 92 to 93 games, maybe even more if their offense can stay healthy. But let me tell you something. This team really can make a dent in that NL West and really be the number two behind the Dodgers. I think they're going to be the number one wild card in the NL. That's just my opinion. I think they have a good enough team to really represent the NL as the best wild card team. And I think Torey Lovullo has been there, and he's done that, and he's gotten through some tough times. They've made it to the World Series. I know they didn't beat Texas, but they still got there. And to me, I think he wins this award this year, and I think it's going to be recognizable because, you know, with the Dodgers in that division, everybody's expecting them to win that division by 8 or 9 games. I still think if he gets a first wild card spot, that's something that you can't laugh about.
No, and listen, I don't think that's a bad pick at all. I think that's more maybe a dark horse because I feel like nobody's talking about Arizona.
Right.
And it's crazy how you're not because outside of the Dodgers, I think they're probably the most complete team
and
across baseball.
If you put them in the AL, they probably win any division. The West, the Central, the East.
Yeah.
They're good.
Their lineup is stacked. Their rotation is stacked. They need a little help in the bullpen, but there's nothing that the trade deadline can't fix.
Exactly.
I do like that pick in Arizona, but I'm disagreeing with you. I'm going again. The trend with me seems to be the Central. I don't know what it is, but new Reds manager Terry Francona is going to take that award again. It will be his fourth in his career, and it would tie him with Bobby Cox, Tony La Russa, and there's one more. Oh, and Buck Showalter. Showalter is the other guy. So I think we're going to get a little bit of history there, and Mr. Terry Francona, Tito himself. Because I think we both agree.
Yeah, I can't even
Cincinnati is going to make the playoffs.
Oh, I have them in the division.
Yeah, you have them in the division. I have them being a wild card team. They're going to the playoffs. Terry is going to get the absolute best out of his guys. They have a sneaky good, nice little rotation. Again, need maybe a little help in the bullpen.
Yes.
They could use another arm. But I like their lineup. I like their rotation.
And I don't want to hear, he walked into a really good team with young talent. No, this team's had young talent for years, and they couldn't get over the hump. He is the guy that's going to get them over the hump this year, and that's a hell of a pick, Mike. I do like that pick.
Now, I think the other thing with, he might be the only guy. No, he's going to win it with two teams, I believe. Three teams.
He won it with
Francona. He won it with Cleveland.
He won it with Cleveland. I know that.
Boston, for sure. So this would be his third. So I think that would tie him with with Showalter, three teams.
I mean, that's the hell of a list.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, he's obviously known for breaking the curse with Boston. Then he went to Cleveland. He did a hell of a job in Cleveland. And now he's going to Cincinnati. And like I said, to me, it was a leadership problem. They have the talent. They just need somebody to, you know, take the reins there. And I think that's a hell of a pick.
Yeah, I mean, how do you ignore Terry Francona? I really wanted to go Carlos Mendoza, but Terry Francona is just, Terry.
Right.
You know, it's Tito. You can't go against this guy. He broke the Red Sox curse.
Yeah, you got to go.
He's a bad man.
Yeah, he is a bad man. And he knows how to be a leader. If there's a guy that can get to communicate with the players and get them on the same page, Francona's the guy.
I agree with that. But we're going to go back to the AL. We're going to move on. We're going to hit now reliever of the year.
This was a tough one for me.
Yeah, no, listen, it was for me too. I had about three or four guys that I was just constantly back and forth with, but I finally just made a decision. So, Joe, where did you land?
So, for me, please don't call me Yankee boy because I picked Dominguez to win Rookie of the Year. But
Yankee boy.
But I'm going Devin Williams.
Yankee boy.
Because this is my reason. I don't think Class A is going to match the year he had last year. That was a year for the ages. I mean, he had a 0.61 ERA. Can he really do that? If he does, I'll eat my words and I'll never say anything again and I'll pick him from now until I die. But right now, I can't see him replicating the year he had last year. The reason why I'm taking Devin Williams is I do think he's top two, top three, at least in baseball when it comes to the closer position. And also the AL hasn't really experienced him. So him coming in, I think it always goes towards the pitcher. I think the pitcher who's the more dominant in the previous league, whether it's the AL or the NL, comes over. And I think they usually have the step ahead. His stuff is just, it really is remarkable. I mean, they call him the Edbender for a reason. I think he's going to have a lot of success with the Yankees. I do think he's going to have a lot of success with that changeup and his breaking pitches as well, mirrored in with his fastball. So that's my thing. I think because the AL hasn't experienced him as much, hitters aren't going to have as much as a decent scouting report as the NL would. And I just don't think that Class A is going to replicate that season that he had last year. So my pick is Devin Williams for 2025 Reliever of the Year.
All right, Yankee boy. So my pick, I will say
AJ
this.
AJ Minter. No.
We didn't get to the NL yet. That's potentially up for grabs. We don't know yet. But as far as Reliever of the Year goes, I completely agree with you on the rounds that Class A will not duplicate what he did last year. But that doesn't mean I took Devin Williams. I took Mason Miller. With the Athletics. I think if he doesn't go down for the couple weeks that he missed towards the end of the All-Star break, I don't think he comes back the way he did. He struggled a little bit and then found it again. I think if he does not get hurt last year at all, he finishes strong and makes a huge case. But like we mentioned, Class A had a year for the ages.
It was unbelievable.
Arguably one of the greatest closing seasons of, right, in history. I mean, like you said, to have a 0.65 ERA, right, whatever it was, that's unreal. Listen, Class A did implode in the playoffs, but
this is a season award.
Right.
It's not the playoffs.
As far as your pick goes, I like it to the extent of, listen, Devin Williams is going into a contract season, and you know how it goes.
Right.
Going into a contract, yeah, these guys.
Lights out, I know.
But listen, the thing with Devin Williams is his stuff is nasty. My only concern with him is, He doesn't pitch a full season a lot of times.
That's true.
And when he's those short periods, he's unbelievably lights out. But throughout the course of a season, when a team seems to see him over and over again, I think that's what ended up being the problem with the Mets in the playoffs, because they just ended a series with them, played Atlanta, and then played Milwaukee again.
Right.
So they got a taste of everybody. Yeah. So I think when he sees teams over and over again, that might affect him. But I still think going into a contract year, I don't think that's a wild pick. I still want to mess with you and call you Yankee boy. But besides the case, Mason Miller, like I said, he's electric. He throws a fastball over 100 miles an hour. He's got ridiculous stuff. He's filthy. I think he's going to be in more closing. He's going to have more opportunities to save games, because we both agree that the A's are going to be a little better.
Yeah,
100%. So I think his save accounts are going to go up, and he's going to see a lot more save opportunities. So that's the reason why I went with Miller. Now, moving on to the NL, who'd you take?
I have my man, who was great for me in fantasy baseball last year.
AJ Minter.
I'm only kidding. Ryan Helsley from St. Louis, man.
Okay, fair.
He was a beast last year. I think he's going to be a beast again this year. I know St. Louis isn't really expected to do any damage in the NL Central. Even representing the NL as a wild card, they're probably not going to make it. I really think Helsley is still going to be one of the bigger pieces there. He is fantastic. He really is. His stuff is electric. He knows how to pitch in tough spots as well. I've seen him in jams with runners on with less than two outs, and he gets out of it with no problem. He looks like a cold-blooded killer to me sometimes on the mound. So I thought he was going to be a trade piece last year for St. Louis, but they actually kept him the entire year. I think because of St. Louis and not being competitive, I do think by the deadline he gets dealt. I don't think he finishes the year in St. Louis, but wherever he goes, I do think he wins NL Reliever of the Year. If he could stay in the NL, he may get traded to the AL. We don't know. I don't think he stays with the Cardinals, but if he does stay in the NL for all intents and purposes, I am taking him to represent the NL with this award this year.
Listen, I don't think that's crazy. My only criticism to that is, like you said, he might not stay with St. Louis, so that could change things. But it's a hell of a pick, because he was disgusting last season, and that's like the only bright spot it seems like St. Louis has going into this year, because not really impressed with them. So I mean, I have them in the cellar. If again, to folks out there that have listened to our last episode,
it's going
to
be a fight for the basement. So.
Yeah, it seems that way. But yeah, I would love to have taken him, but that was my concern that he's going to end up getting dealt, and you never know where he's going to end up. There's a lot of teams, even on the AL side, that could always use a closer, and we don't know. Injuries happen. Things happen, you know. My pick, though, again, aside from the AL, all of my picks have come out of the Central.
Hey, listen, the talent is there. What do you got?
Alexis Diaz.
Ooh, interesting. Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm going different. No, I'm lying. It's AJ Minter. Totally kidding. No. It's Alexis Diaz. Again, I think Cincinnati is going to be in a lot more games. I think they're going to win more games. He's going to get a lot more opportunities. And in these high leverage situations, listen, you mirror his windup and you put it side by side or even on top of each other. It mirrors his brother's, Edwin. It mirrors their windup is exactly the same. Their stuff is both electric. But I think he's going to get more of the opportunity.
And Mike didn't want to look like Matt Boy, so he went with his brother.
No, you know what? All right, fine. That's funny. I really did want to take Edwin.
He is electric, though.
I did want to take Edwin, and it wasn't because Matt Boy. That's not why. I didn't take him only because it was just he seems to do this trend where he's great and then down and then great and then down. So at this point,
That's a good point.
He's gearing up for a great season, Edwin Diaz. Especially now he's a year removed from breaking his leg. He tore something. He tore his ACL. Yeah. So not breaking his leg. But I really did want to take him, but I just kind of wanted to think a little outside the box because, you know what? Listen, it doesn't always come down to favorites, and I like Alexis Diaz. I think he's going to be lights out.
Yeah, and that division, again, it's a tough division, so you can see a lot of saves from him. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a good pick.
But listen, guys, just do us a favor. On the podcast itself, in the comments section, tell us how crazy we are. Or on our Instagram and our Twitter, Diamond Discussions 25. You know, we're going to have corresponding posts to the podcast itself. Listen, in the comments section, let us know how crazy we are. You know, rip Joe apart from being a Yankee boy, because I'm pretty sure his next two picks are all Yankees. No, I'm totally kidding. No, but really, please, we want to hear from you. We love the engagement, and we want to, you know, maybe spark up some debates between you guys. And like I said, let us know how crazy we are. But we're going to move on now. We're coming into the top echelon of these awards. We're going to go Cy Young Award.
All right, so AL. I'm going the Triple Crown winner last year. I'm taking him to win two times in a row. I'm going Tarik Skubal.
Okay.
I do think with the subtraction of Gerrit Cole out of the Yankees rotation, it's going to be a little more pressure for Fried. I know it keeps him in that two-hole, Max Fried, keeps him a little more comfortable, but I do think Skubal is going to just tear through that AL Central again. I do think he knows the division very well. And I do think he's going to adjust. I think the league is going to try to adjust to him, but I think he's good enough to make certain adjustments where he's going to be that dominant again. I could see him winning 17 to 18 games with an under 3 ERA and taking this award again. He was that good last year, and I don't think there's any reason for him not to win again this year. I do think Fried's going to have a good year. I think Garrett Crochet is going to have a good year, but I do think Skubal is going to really come out on top again and represent the Tigers and the AL Central again for this award.
We have a lot of Central picks between the both of us. It's crazy.
I do.
Listen, I don't. How could you hate on that pick?
I can't.
It's Skubal, like you said. Triple Crown winner last year for a pitcher. He was practically unhittable. He really is. He's really developing into something great, especially on the left-hand side of things. He's definitely top in the league. I mean, you could probably argue between him and Paul Skenes potentially being top two pitchers in baseball. So I do like that pick. Doesn't mean I took it, though. I seem to have, again, gone away from the favorites a little bit because I like the dark horse. I always like the underdog. That's just me. I'm taking Garrett Crochet.
Okay.
I think his inning total is going to go up. I think we're looking at potentially 170 to 180 innings. I think if he reaches that threshold with what he's capable of, he's going to potentially give us numbers we may have not seen in that short time frame. Now, he seems to be doing the Chris Sale movement where was with Chicago, left-handed pitcher, gets traded for four prospects to Boston. It's, you know, the writing's on the wall with that. But I think he's going to accomplish the Cy Young, which I don't believe Sale ever won with Boston. He just won it last year with Atlanta. But I really like Garrett Crochet. I want to see more innings from him, and I want to see what he's capable of. His K rate was unreal last season. I think he's going to duplicate that and then some. His stuff is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, you can't, again, that's another pick that is definitely, you know, makes sense. It definitely makes sense, you know, to have Crochet, you know, rounding out the AL and representing them for this award. I do think it's going to be Freed, Crochet, and Skubal as the top three pitchers in the AL this year. That's just my opinion. I do think they're going to be fighting for it. And I do think they'll all finish 1, 2, and 3. I'm taking Skubal, you're taking Crochet. So obviously we have them at one, and then at some point, the other two guys are going to follow suit right behind them. So I do think that's a very sensible pick.
All right, that's fair. Listen, I like it. I like both picks from us. I think they're both pretty solid. But now we're going to move on to the NL.
So, yeah, the NL, like you said, you had said Paul Skeens was the, you know, a top pitcher in the NL, and that's what I think, too. And I think he wins 2025 Cy Young. This guy was unbelievable last year. He really was. He came out of the gate and was brilliant from start to finish. The hype was real with this kid. He was absolutely unbelievable. I think it's a no-brainer. I really do. I don't think there's anybody that could touch this kid. His movement is phenomenal on his cutter. He has his fastball is 100 miles an hour consistently throughout the first to the ninth inning. He's a beast. So personally, I think Paul Skeens take this award just due to his pitching repertoire. It's unbelievable. I think the movement on his pitches speaks for itself. I think he's almost impossible to hit. His sinker too, running in on right-handed batters, is unbelievable. And his fastball too is just, like I said, top-notch, top echelon type stuff. I think Paul Skeens is the Cy Young for the NL 2025.
And didn't he add two pitches to his he added a cutter, right?
He added a cutter. He said he wanted to have something to back up his fastball. He didn't want to have just a four-seamer. So I think he took on a two-seamer or a sinker and a cutter. Yeah, so he's got more power to add down to his repertoire.
I mean, and you know what? Listen, I do love that pick. Paul, like we both mentioned, he's probably 1A or 1B as far as best in the league, at least from what we saw last season. We'll see how the league catches up with him. But if any of you guys want to see something interesting, please look it up on YouTube, TikTok, whatever you use. Look up his workout routine before
he's
it starts.
A beast.
It's ridiculous. He throws a football. He wears a weighted backpack and acts the motion out. His workout routine before start is unreal. I do really like the pick. I do. But it doesn't mean I took him.
Who'd you go with?
So I went with a guy that I feel like doesn't get appreciated, or at least didn't, because he only pitched the season as well. But I feel like he just got really overlooked even in the top 10 starting pitchers right now. He didn't make the list, and I don't understand how that was even a thing. But again, the Central seems to be the theme of this show.
Interesting.
I'm going in Chicago, and I am taking Shota Imanaga.
Wow, very interesting.
I think, again, like I said, I think his stuff is disgusting, and I feel like he just doesn't get the credit he deserves.
And you know what? Speaking of disgusting, he didn't go 5 today.
Oh my God!
I don't know what Craig Counsell's doing there. I mean, he didn't even give up a hit. I know he had 4 walks in the game, and he looked like
68 pitches.
He had 69 pitches, something like that. Yeah, I know it was under 70, and he could have won 5. I don't understand. They took him out in the bullpen, blew it.
Yeah,
I know we're not trying to go there right now, but like right off the bat, he had 4 scoreless, 4 hitless. And he gets pulled.
And you know what?
Listen, and he's not going to pitch for 9 days because they have to fly back to the States to start the actual season.
Yeah.
And I don't know where they thought that he couldn't get rest.
And you know what? The other thing with that is,
that's a great pick. He was a beast last year. He was 15-3 last year.
Yeah. I people don't give him the love he deserves. Maybe because he doesn't throw 100 miles an hour. But his stuff is so filthy, he doesn't need to. He's got such movement on all his pitches. It really is gross. Again, if you guys haven't really watched a lot of him, look it up. Look up his stuff. And you know what? He went up against the Dodgers yesterday. And I understand that, it was the first game of the season. You don't want to overwork the guy. But he was at home in Japan. I thought he could have won another inning at least. And walks seemed to be the death of you as a starting pitcher. He walked 4 Dodgers in 4 innings. And I think both were in the second and the fourth inning.
Yes, he did 2-2.
So
yeah.
He had 2 runners on, didn't give up a hit, and nobody scored on that.
Right, and so, got out of it.
Yeah, got out against the big bad Dodgers.
Right.
So that right there just made me more confident with this pick. I think if he goes another inning, that game might have been totally different. But again, we're going to touch on that in a later episode. But that's my pick. Again, I don't seem to understand why we're keep going in the Central, but that seems to be the trend.
Seems to be the trend,
But, listen, I love that pick. I like your pick as well, Skeens. My only thing, and this is a hot take. It's not really a hot take. It might be. I don't know. I don't want to actually say this, but it's just my feeling, my gut feeling on Skeens, and it's just the unfortunate part.
Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
another guy that throws too hard.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't want to put that out there, but it's just, I see it. Well, the stats, I feel it. It's, I don't.
85% of pitchers have to get,
yeah,
surgery.
Yeah, the so numbers are not in his favor to not have it. I don't want it to happen because I want to see this kid full healthy career and see what he could do. You know, with his stuff, we could potentially be looking at him. Maybe a 300-game winner. I doubt it, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Hopefully, for his sake, it doesn't have to happen. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if in 5 to 6 years we're talking about Skeens getting
Tommy John
surgery. It's, like I said, 8 out of every 10 pitchers get it. So
yeah, and that was my concern with that pick. I think it's too easy to take him, and there's just
healthy, I'm going to take him. That's why.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you know what? If I don't have this feeling about it, maybe I think differently. But that was my at least logic as to why I didn't go with Paul Skeens. I'm sure most of you listening to this right now are screaming at me, and that's totally fine. I could take it. Let us know in the comments. Like I said, Diamond Discussions 25 on Instagram and Twitter, or even just the comments section of the podcast itself. We'd love to read your feedback. We love the engagement, so we're looking forward to it. And guys, please. But we're going to move on to probably the most coveted award in Major League Baseball, the Comeback Player of the Year. Yeah. Gotcha.
Right. For me, I'm praying for this guy. I've been praying for this guy for a while. I just want to see him out there. Mike Trout. I'm taking Mike Trout for 2025 AL Comeback Player of the Year. He's 22 homers away from 400. If he does that alone, to me, it's a shoo-in. Just for, you know, accomplishing that feat. This guy could be at 550, Mike. 550, close to 600 home runs.
Maybe.
If he was healthy. Honestly, he's been that good when he is out there. Finally getting moved to right field, so I think that's going to preserve him a little bit. I think this is 3 to 4 years too long. I think he should have been moved to right field in like 2020 or 2021 when, you know, all of his injuries were piling up to save him. But he's finally in right field. I think it's going to be a lot less on his body. So if he could stay out there for 110 to 120 games, I'm taking Mike Trout to an AL Comeback Player of the Year.
I love that pick because I agree with you on the fact that I think the whole baseball world just wants to see this guy healthy. Like, if we're going to just get broken for the rest of his career, give us at least one, and maybe this one, maybe because we're impatient. Or, you know, give him one when the team is maybe in a little more contention. But I, you and me both, and the whole baseball world, we want this guy to stay healthy. We want to see at least one more season of what he's capable of, because he's been unbelievable. His talent is something I don't think we've seen in 65 years.
He's a true 5-2 player.
Yeah, absolutely. I went a little different, and maybe this is the Met boy in me that's talking. But my pick for AL is Jacob DeGrom. He's another one. I want him to stay healthy. I mean, it's just he either didn't have an offense or kept getting hurt, and he hasn't. That's why his numbers are as low as they are. So when he's up for his Hall of Fame case, you know, you're going to see his numbers and go, that's not Hall of Fame numbers.
Right, exactly.
Unless you go back to the Jacob DeGrom experience and what it was like to see him on a mound and pitch. And I hope he stays healthy for a full season so we could experience that again. Because in New York, it was an event when Jacob DeGrom pitched. That was almost like how it was with Dwight Gooding was here.
And then Texas wins the World Series and he didn't get to contribute. So yeah. It's unbelievable, right? It's like you want this guy to be out there to contribute because you know he could have been out there and contributed to that World Series. And it's crazy that he wasn't. But like we said, injuries just plague the game sometimes, and it's a part of it. But that's a hell of a pick, man. I like that pick. DeGrom, if he can stay healthy, is going to really help that Texas Rangers starting rotation.
Yeah, and you know what? They need it. They definitely need it. They need it. They're banking on him to stay healthy, and I'm just rooting for it. You know, and the talent is through the roof. If he
can stay healthy and mix it with Evaldi, that could be a long season for the Rangers.
Yeah, they could be in some trouble.
That's a hell of a pick, man.
Yeah, and you know, listen, I think we're both rooting for these guys to stay healthy. But on the NL side of it,
all right, so for the NL, I think, again, it's a no-brainer to me. It's Ronald Acuña Jr., man.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like if Acuña could come back and stay healthy, it's a shoo-in. This guy is such a talent. I know the Braves don't want him putting a lot of pressure on his body anymore. They don't want him doing the 40, potentially 50 stolen bases anymore. I know there was some talk about him potentially capping him at 25, 30 stolen bases to preserve him. He's got 2 blown-out knees now, both the right and left knee. He's had, you know, surgically repaired. So it's unfortunate. This man is so young, and he's in the prime of his career. He's in a really, really tough division filled with a lot of talent. I do think, again, if he could give them 130 games, he's a shoo-in. Like I said, his production will not take a step back. I think it's just going to, it'll be right there. I think just the only thing that's taking a step back will be the stolen bases, but I do think he'll produce enough to win this award and represent the Braves for the NL Comeback Player of the Year.
Listen, I think that's a fair pick. I went a little different on the fact of I took the entire Braves starting lineup.
It's so injured. It's unbelievable.
No, I actually took Acuna as well. He's one of the unbelievable talents we've seen. I mean, this guy went 40-70, something we never saw before.
And we probably won't see it again from him or potentially anyone.
Yeah, you know, what he did was ridiculous. Don't take that out of the realm of possibility. We'll discuss that soon.
That's actually true.
We will discuss that soon. And you know, not to give anything away, but I love the pick with Acuna. I really do. I want him to stay healthy, even though he plays for a division rival, at least with me. But again, I don't want like the Mets to win the division because the Braves were limping all season or Philly was limping all season. I want to beat the best of the best. I don't want some Mickey Mouse trophy if they're going to ever win one in my lifetime.
I agree.
I want them to beat the best of the best. So I want everybody healthy. And just for the game of baseball in general, not just a Met fan, just overall, fan of the game, you want top-tier talent on the field at all times, at all costs. So I you know, I'm rooting for him to come back and have a solid year. I think it's probably going to be more along the lines of what we saw when he recovered from the first surgery, which again was still incredible.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah,
he was solid. His numbers were better than some guys, you know, a regular player. You know, I mean, and he's coming off ACL surgery, so you know, I love the pick for Acuna. But to give you guys a little bit of sports trivia and some baseball trivia to, you know, maybe go impress some of your nerd friends that really love the game as much as they do. There's a guy that's won this award twice, and he didn't in each league, which I thought was incredible. And doing the research on this is how I found this out. I've never heard this before. I never heard anybody brought it up. So again, if you guys want to brag to your friends, now here's the other part of this. There's a more history to it. MLB officially kind of, you know, sanctioned and made this an actual award in 2005. So that's what I'm basing it off of. But since 2005, there is a guy that has won the award in both leagues. And I was shocked to see it, and then it made sense the more I thought about it. But you remember Francisco Liriano?
Absolutely.
So this guy won it in 2010 with Minnesota, and then he won it again in 2013 with Pittsburgh. So I thought that was really cool.
Another injury-plagued career.
Yeah, I mean, his talent was through the roof. I remember when he first came up, the pairing with him and Johan in Minnesota could have been really something special, but unfortunately for him.
That tells you how good he was that he won it twice.
Yeah.
Coming back from serious injury, and he won it twice.
And I remember his days in Pittsburgh. He was no slouch, and I know Pittsburgh doesn't really get as
well. He was pitching in Minnesota playoff games.
Yeah,
he was. He was there.
He was. Now, the other side of that coin is it's not necessarily recognized by the MLB. Again, not until the award became official through them. But the Sporting News, that was where the award was really, and that's been going since 1965 with them. So technically, there was another guy that did it. And it was Rick Sutcliffe in 1987 with the Chicago Cubs. And then he did it again in 1992 with Baltimore Orioles. So it's an unofficial, official type of thing.
Right, and then MLB took over and they made their own thing.
Yeah, now listen, for the most part, I mean, most of the time, the Sporting News, their picks compared to MLB since 2005 have just about been on par with each other. There's just a few that have been different, but it's relatively the same. Just, you know, MLB doesn't technically honor it. But,
right, exactly.
You know, just to give you guys some trivia, like I said, you want to go brag to your nerd friends and go, you know, have them owe you a beer or something. Ask them who won on both sides of, you know, in the American League and National League. And, hey, if we win you a beer, we want to hear from you. So let us know. But now we're officially moving on to the big bad award of the year.
Yep.
The MVP. Joe AL. Let's go, Yankee boy.
No, I'm a Kansas City boy.
Really?
Bobby Witt.
Okay, I didn't expect that out of you. All
right. Bobby Witt Jr. I will say this. If Judge hits 55 plus and knocks in 120 plus, he probably wins the award.
Yeah.
If he hits over 300 or close to it. But Bobby Witt could do the same and add in 30 plus stolen bases. So I'm thinking, mixed in with his defense, which is high caliber, mixed in with the potential that he could hit 35 to 40 homers, mixed in with the fact that he could hit 300 plus, and also knocking over 100 RBIs, he's going to be right up there with Judge. You know, like I said, the Yankee lineup is a little bit different, so Judge may have to, you know, go into games differently now that there's no Soto and, maybe different types of protection around him. But for me, I think Witt was so good last year that you can't deny how good he could be again this year. And I do think he takes the award this year in the AL and will be the 2025 AL MVP.
Honestly, I love that pick, and I love it so much that I completely agree with you, and I also took Bobby Witt.
Oh, wow.
For the fact that, listen, if Aaron Judge does not exist, he runs away with this award 100%. Last season. He won the batting title. He went 30-30 in Kansas City, and he was unreal. You take him off Kansas City, they don't even they're in the basement. And that's not taking anything away from their team. It's just Bobby Witt is that good.
Right.
And he's so young. And he does it at a premier position in shortstop. He's a wizard defensively. He's unbelievable. Like you said, we could be looking at a shortstop going 40-40. I think A-Rod was the only one at shortstop to do that.
So, and he hit 32 homers last year. So yeah, he's got the power.
Yeah.
He's got the wheels.
He could turn some of his doubles into home runs. And I think what hurts him is the fact that he plays in Kauffman Stadium, because that definitely takes away some of his home runs. But you're looking at a guy that at some point I do think goes 40-40. Why not next season?
Right, exactly.
Why not next season? If he could do that and win a batting title again, I think he could potentially run away with it. And that's saying a lot playing against Aaron Judge in the American League. And like you said, if Judge goes 55, almost 60 again, 130, 100 runs scored.
And he had a deal with Juan Soto in the AL2 last year.
He
forgets that there was, double-headed monsters in the Yankees lineup. But now that Soto's obviously in the NL, I think even if Soto was in the AL still, Witt's going to be something that we talk about for the next 15 years.
I absolutely agree with you. Now, moving on, our final award pick of the night in the National League, the MVP. Who'd you go with?
I actually went with Ellie De La Cruz. I know people are saying, how the hell are you not picking Shohei Ohtani? But again, the same thing with Witt and Judge. If Shohei goes 50-plus homers, 100-plus RBIs, and if he steals 35 bags, I don't think he's going to steal 50 again because now the whole pitching aspect comes into play. Mm-hmm. He should be ready for, they're saying, the end of May, potentially June. If he could pitch decent, not even good, spectacular, decent, he probably wins the award, right? But I think Ellie De La Cruz, again, he could be a potential 35 home runs, 40-plus stolen bases, high average, great defense, phenomenal arm, definitely a game changer. He could be on third base. He could turn a single into a triple, basically, theoretically. He could hit a single, steal second, steal third, and all of a sudden you got Ellie on third base. It's like, how'd that even happen? So I think, again, with the mix of his speed, he's definitely a 5-2 player. I personally think if Ohtani pitches this year, it takes away from his offensive numbers. That's just my opinion. If that happens, I could see Ellie being the 2025 NL MVP.
You know what? And this is why I mentioned the Acuna 40-70 thing, because if there's a guy that could do that, it's Ellie. He has the potential to do it. I mean, he stole, I think, 67 last year and hit 25. I think he's going to take that next leap forward, and I think his power is going to jump up a little bit.
Yes.
I think he's going to steal somewhere around the same amount of bases. This dude is lightning. He is unbelievable defensively, offensively. I think he's going to take a big leap forward, and I flirted with that one. I went back and forth. He was in the mix.
It was tough for me, too, because, like I said, Ohtani, it's like, how do you say?
I mean, listen, if Ohtani wins it again, we might as well just name the award after him. Right. If he's pitching and hitting and he does anything close to, if he would be considered a number three starter and he's putting up numbers like Ellie close to it, maybe not the stolen bases, how do you not give it to Ohtani? It's almost like we need the Ohtani award that he's just going to win on a regular basis, and then we need the other one. Because, I mean, Ohtani, it's ridiculous.
Between him and Judge, they could win the next 9 MVP awards.
It's possible. It's entirely possible. But you know what? I didn't go with him either.
Oh, really?
I did not go with Ohtani either. And I know you guys were probably building up that I took him. But no, I didn't take him.
Oh, no. What am I smelling? What I'm really smelling?
I don't know. What are you smelling?
I'm smelling a Met boy comment here.
Yes. Juan Soto is going to stick it in Yankee fans' faces and win the MVP in the National League this season. I think he's another one entering his prime this year.
It's a good pick.
He is going to go off. I think he's going to thrive in this offense a little more than he might have did with the Yankees, because everyone just says, oh, yeah, because Judge was hitting behind him. Soto has been putting up numbers similar to what he did last season. Now, it was overall his best season, but his numbers were right there every year he's played practically. He's improving, and now he's officially going to be entering his prime. I think he's going to light it up in Queens. I think he's where he belongs. And I think he's going to thrive off of it.
He does have to hit, in my opinion, he has to hit 40-plus and knock it over 100 again and hit close to at least 300.
Yeah, which I think he's going
to
do.
Yeah, and he's going to be able to deal with Ohtani and deal with a guy like Ellie De La Cruz who could steal 60-plus bases. So I think, again, we're going to see Ohtani, Soto, and Ellie really be in the top three for the next 7 to 8 years, honestly.
Yeah, I think
it's... Headlining the MVP, you're going to see them in the top 3 to 5 every year.
Yeah, it's going to be the talent coming into the National League is you know, some of these guys are really ridiculous. Another guy that I think is going to end up taking a leap forward too that could be in that conversation later on is going to be O'Neal Cruz. He's a similar build to Ellie.
We'll see how he does in center field now. He's moving to the outfield.
Yeah, but with that arm, I think he's going to light it up with the outfield assists. But, you know, that's just our pick. Yes. So, guys, please, again, light us up in the comments. I know we both gave you a ton of picks that are going to make you go crazy and tear your hair out, and you're probably screaming at your phones or your radios, whatever you are listening to us on. But again, Diamond Discussions 25 on Twitter and Instagram, or just simply in the comments section of the podcast. And just for the reference, just for future reference, we appreciate you guys so much for listening to us. It when we see the views go up in the comments, it motivates us to keep us going, because if it's just not, then it's just me and Joe talking to each other. And what fun is that? But realistically, we can't thank you guys enough for listening to us and you know, taking some time out of your busy days and throwing us on and giving us a chance. So to anybody out there that does listen to us regularly, we do appreciate you. And if this is your first time, we appreciate you even listening this much. So again, guys, we appreciate you again. We want to hear from you. Light up our comment section. Tell us how crazy we are. Rip Joe for being a Yankee boy. Rip me for being a Met boy. I don't care. But
yeah,
again,
we really appreciate it, guys. And like I said, the support that we've gotten since we've started this whole thing has been nothing short of fantastic. And we want to keep pumping out episodes as much as possible. And like Mike said, you know, just to cap it off, we really do appreciate it. And thank you for stopping in. And like I said, stay tuned for more episodes as the season gets closer. Thank you, guys.